Good morning. This is Patricia Kohlberg bringing you some perspectives on the Middle East crisis that you might not encounter in the mainstream media. Right now, it is difficult to uphold the idea that every nation has the right to exist in peace and freedom without being accused of supporting anti-Semitism, terrorism, or genocide. While insisting on these universal rights, we should also seek to understand what drives the conflict. Some analysts argue that behind the current outbreak of violence lies the neo-colonial strategy of suppressing progressive voices in favor of extremist regimes that the U.S. or its proxies can either crush or control. Mehdi Hassan, author and commentator, takes a deeper look at the rise of Hamas as a creature of Israel's own making. Here is a brief excerpt from his 2018 article in The Intercept titled, How Israel Went from Helping Create Hamas to Bombing It. He writes, "What do you know about Hamas? That it's sworn to destroy Israel? That it's a terrorist group? That it rules Gaza with an iron fist? That it's killed hundreds of innocent Israelis with rocket, mortar, and suicide attacks? But did you also know that Hamas would probably not exist today were it not for the Jewish state? That the Israelis helped turn a bunch of fringe Palestinian Islamists in the late 1970s into one of the world's most notorious militant groups? Listen to former Israeli officials, such as Brigadier General Yitzhak Segev, who was the Israeli military governor in Gaza in the early 1980s. Segev later told a New York Times reporter that he had helped finance the Palestinian Islamist movement as a quote-unquote counterweight to the secularists and leftists of the Palestine Liberation Organization and the Fatah Party, led by Yasser Arafat. Hamas, to my great regret, is Israel's creation. Avner Cohen, a former Israeli religious affairs official who worked in Gaza for more than two decades, told the Wall Street Journal in 2009. Cohen even wrote an official report to his superiors warning them not to play divide and rule in the occupied territories by backing Palestinian Islamists against Palestinian secularists. To be clear, first the Israelis helped build up a militant strain of Palestinian political Islam in the form of Hamas, then the Israelis switched tack and tried to bomb, besiege, and blockade it out of existence." That was an excerpt from a piece by Mehdi Hassan from The Intercept. Stephen Zunis, writing in The Progressive on October 11, details further how the U.S. has all along pursued strategies to buttress Israel's apartheid state in Palestine with deadly consequence in both Israel and Palestine. His article is titled, "Hamas, Israel, and the U.S. Have Learned Nothing." Zunis writes, "The killing of more than 1,000 Israelis and internationals from rockets and direct attacks by Hamas is a staggering blow for Israel, a small country which has repeatedly been a victim of violent attacks throughout its history. But Hamas, once again, has failed to recognize that killing civilians is not just morally reprehensible, but politically counterproductive. The terror inflicted upon Israel will only harden Western support for the country and make it easier to depict Palestinians as somehow collectively guilty of atrocities against Jewish people. It will also make it easier to rationalize Israel's ongoing denial of the Palestinian people's right to self-determination, as well as Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's efforts to consolidate dictatorial power through control of the judiciary. It is unlikely there will be a resumption of the massive pro-democracy demonstrations we've seen on the streets of Tel Aviv this year." While the Biden administration was certainly correct to condemn the attacks in strongest possible terms, it was incorrect in saying that they were unprovoked. Israeli forces and settlers in the occupied West Bank and East Jerusalem have bulldozed hundreds of Palestinian homes, confiscated Palestinian farming and grazing land, destroyed orchards and vineyards, engaged in arson attacks against Palestinian properties, and violated Muslim holy places. Israelis have killed scores of Palestinian civilians since 2022, and Hamas had been warning it would retaliate if they continued. When the Oslo Accords were signed in 1993, the secular nationalist Palestine Liberation Organization unilaterally recognized Israel and renounced the armed struggle in the hopes that Israel would allow for the creation of a Palestinian state. Hamas angrily opposed the agreement, arguing that the PLO was naive to think that Israel, with the United States as the chief mediator in the peace process, would allow for a viable Palestinian state to emerge. As Israeli colonization of the West Bank and political repression increased, and as the PLO-led Palestinian Authority became increasingly inept and corrupt, support for Hamas grew. The failure of the United States to be an honest broker and its ongoing insistence on providing unconditional support to Israel's increasingly right-wing governments seemingly vindicated Hamas's skepticism. In the 2006 Palestinian parliamentary elections, Hamas captured a plurality of the vote and eventually seized control of Gaza. They have ruled the enclave ever since, effectively banning any political opposition. Between 2008 and 2023, 78 Israeli civilians and 2,789 Palestinian civilians were killed in clashes between Israel and Hamas. Despite this skewed ratio, successive U.S. administrations and large bipartisan majorities in Congress have denounced Hamas's attacks while defending Israel's killing of Palestinian civilians, insisting that it was all in self-defense. Just as the lives of Israeli civilians were expendable in the eyes of Hamas, the Biden administration and a large bipartisan majority of Congress, like the Israeli government, may prove to be similarly dismissive of the lives of Palestinian civilians. That was Stephen Zunis, professor of politics at the University of San Francisco, writing in The Progressive. Before that, you heard excerpts from a piece by commentator and author Mehdi Hassan, published in The Intercept. Links to the full articles are published on the webpage for this episode of The Old Mole. I'm Patricia Kohlberg for The Old Mole Variety Hour.
I'm exhausted. Last night I couldn't sleep, but when I did, I could hear bombs in my dreams. Nightmare situation. How could they be so evil? Making martyrs out of children and innocent people. We expect the bombs, not knowing where next. Huddle in the corner of my room, trying to protect my little brother as the building shakes like it's possessed. But nothing stronger than the will of the oppressed. I bomb back with my lyrics and rhymes, living the times, trying to break the Palestinian minds. What's hiding in the clouds hanging over my head? My dad risks his life outside to buy bread. The fourth war in my 12th year. At this stage I'm numb, though I haven't felt scared. There's nothing I can do in this case to stay safe. I'm brave, even though this house could be in my grave. I want freedom for the population. 2 million prisoners living in this location. Shouting at the wall, but nothing is ever changing. That's life under an occupation. I want freedom for the population. 2 million prisoners living in this location. Shouting at the wall, but nothing is ever changing. That's life under an occupation.